This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Promoting products on my niche websites, creating niche websites that are solely focused on affiliate marketing. When I look at my podcasting journey and what my goals for podcasting was, I was never looking at monetizing the Taste of India podcast from the perspective that most podcasters look at it. My sole objective was to drive all of that traffic to my blog and then monetize my blog. But once you've done it, if you're able to drive traffic to it, it's income that stays there, that's passive. So people just come, visit those posts, click on those links, buy, and you get paid a commission.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Passion People Podcast. And I'm your host, Naga. The Passion People Podcast chronicles stories of people who follow their passion and make it manifest in tangible ways. Now, we're taking it one step further and focusing on passionate creators and independent artists who are finding a way to earn their living in the midst of a new world changed by COVID-19. The emphasis of Season 3 is the creator economy and how creators are being able to monetize using various avenues that are now available to them. Before we start, I'd like to give a big shout out to Srishti, who's one of the hosts of the show Respectfully Disagree, which is one of my new favorite shows to listen to because it helps expand my horizon about sensitive topics and be open to different perspectives. And also to Aristotle1001, who both left us a really nice, cute review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, folks, for your kind words. When we talk about monetization, the first channel that creators think about is ads, sponsorships, or even a Patreon membership. However, today, during our podcast, we talk about a very lucrative channel that deserves more mind space with the creator community, and that is affiliate marketing. We get into the what, why, and how to of affiliate marketing with a veteran creator who earns all of his income, 100% of his income from affiliate marketing. Dilip shares his insights, learnings, and even bare bones introductions to the wonderful world of affiliate marketing in this.
Dilip, hello and welcome to the Passion People Podcast.
Thanks for having me here. I was looking forward to this conversation for some time.
Can you tell us your story? I know you run an affiliate marketing blog or affiliate marketing podcast, and you're also a great content creator in your own right, with both you and your wife having such famous websites and podcasts.
Thanks. I have been an affiliate marketer since 2003. Okay, so 2002 is when I first learned about affiliate marketing. It wasn't purely affiliate marketing. I started off with understanding what blogging was, and that was when blogging was slowly taking off. I went into affiliate marketing because my objective of getting into blogging was to use the expertise or the knowledge that I had and make money. And just to give you a context, 2002, 2003 was a time when people were making a lot of money using Google AdSense on their blogs. And these blogs weren't really extremely good content. It was just some content that they were putting out there. They were putting some Google AdSense in there and they were kind of making money. So that is where I actually started. And Google AdSense wasn't really a very reliable option for me. I diversified into learning, understanding what affiliate marketing is. And that's how I got into affiliate marketing. In 2003 is when I first put together my affiliate marketing website. But slowly and gradually, I kind of graduated into a little more advanced methods in affiliate marketing, building very niche, specific sites that is oriented towards affiliate marketing. And that's what I've continued to do over the last, I think, 14, 15 years. I came into podcasting first. The first podcast that I had listened to was somewhere around 2005, 2006. There was this guy, Yaro Starak. It was Yaro from whose small course that I happened to learn what blogging is and what affiliate marketing is all about. So Yaro had a podcast somewhere in 2005. And it was something very new, not a lot of podcasts. So that's where I first encountered a podcast. I started my podcast on affiliate marketing for my primary blog at dkspeaks.com somewhere around 2010, 2011. Did it for almost about 2 years, but then I was getting pulled into multiple directions because I wanted to focus my energy on something that I was doing for a long time. And I felt that somehow podcasting was taking a little too much time of mine. One of the reasons was that my wife started her blog, The Tastes of India Dotcom. That was in 2008 when she started. And there was a lot of energy that we were putting in to promoting that blog, building the audience. We had a lot of issues in terms of some hosting going down, a lot of content going down. So I was getting involved in a lot of these things. That is where I took a break from a podcasting on dkspeaks.com and then continued with affiliate marketing for a while until 2015, when once again, we felt that podcasting could be a good addition to what we were doing on the Taste of India. And that is where we started off podcasting again in 2015. September was when the first episode of the Taste of India podcast came out. Since then, we've consistently been releasing shows on the Taste of India podcast. And it's been about a year that I started the podcastinguniversity.com and the podcast there. So it's a year. Because of the COVID impact, I had to take a little break there. But then these are the two podcast projects that I'm running right now. But primarily, I'm into affiliate marketing, promoting products on my niche websites, creating niche websites that are solely focused on affiliate marketing.
I understand. Let's dive right into the meat of the matter. So how much of your total income is derived from affiliate marketing currently in a percentage, if I can ask you?
So it is almost 100%. Once again, you know, I'll go back to how we started podcasts for the Taste of India. I'll talk about the Taste of India right now. So when we started podcast, the Taste of India podcast, it was not to start a podcast. It was to look at an alternate channel to promote our existing blog at thetasteofindia.com. So there was another audience who is focused on audio. And we felt that if we could engage with that audience who were focused on audio, we can bring them back to our websites and, in fact, to the blog as well. That is how we started the Taste of India podcast. So when I look at my podcasting journey and what my goals for podcasting was, I was never looking at monetizing the Taste of India podcast from the perspective that most podcasters look at it. Sponsorships and maybe merchandise or ads. So I wasn't looking at it from that perspective. My sole objective was to drive all of that traffic to my blog and then monetize my blog. So that's what we followed since the tasteofindia.com as in podcast started. And we've mostly driving traffic back to our blog itself. And our earning is primarily from affiliate marketing that we are doing on the blog. So we've even stopped Google ads on the Taste of India right now, because there was feedback that we got from people saying that the ads are extremely intrusive. So we stopped, and that wasn't a lot that we were earning from those Google ads as well. So we are solely focused on affiliate marketing right now. And all income that we are earning, all of it, almost 100% is coming from affiliate marketing.
You guys earn all of your 100% of your monthly income just through affiliate marketing. Okay, so let's take a few steps back. Can you explain what is affiliate marketing and how is it different from like regular marketing, and why should creators be interested to know about affiliate marketing?
Affiliate marketing is basically you are promoting somebody's product. There is a manufacturer, a service provider who already have a product, and you are promoting that product to your audience in return for a commission that they are going to pay you. And affiliate marketing is a small pie from the overall revenue that these e-commerce players are making. Why is it that they are doing it? Because, you know, it's a very easy advertising medium for e-commerce companies. Now, I'll take an example of Amazon, which is what we use mostly on the Taste of India. Now, Amazon has their own affiliate marketing program. Similarly, in India, Flipkart has their own affiliate program. And for Amazon and Flipkart, while they might be paying about maybe 4 to 8% of the total value of a sale, that budget, the advertising budget for affiliate marketing, for the affiliates that they might be setting aside, is absolutely zero, because there is nothing that they need to do. It is affiliates who are interested in promoting that product who go there, pick those links, promote those products, drive traffic to their products, and facilitate the sale. So in return for that, if they are paying about 4 to 8% of the sale that they are making, it's worth it for them, because they are saving a lot of money that they would otherwise have spent on advertising. So for e-commerce players, this is a very good medium. And just to give you a context, I kind of get into details of affiliate marketing when I write my posts. So you might be surprised to see that the MSN.com website, that also has a lot of products that they promote. And they always have a note below that product saying that these links are affiliate links and we might earn from a sale that happens through this link. Now, I don't know why MSN.com would have affiliate links on their website, but it shows that there isn't a lot of effort that you need to put in there. There absolutely is there when you're starting off, when you're building it. But once you've done it, if you're able to drive traffic to it, it's income that stays there, that's passive. So people just come, visit those posts, click on those links, buy, and you get paid a commission. That's basically what affiliate marketing is.
I'm sure there's a little bit more nuance to it. Is it as simple as you're making it out to be?
I'll take an example of the Taste of India right now. We want to help people start their niche blogs and run those blogs on affiliate marketing. So that's something that we're doing there. Now, if you go to tasteofindia.com, on every post that we put out, you will find that there are Amazon products that we refer. Now, for example, if there is a recipe that we are making and the primary two ingredients in that recipe, for simplicity, let me say that it's organic all-purpose flour, okay, or organic whole wheat atta. That link is also linked using an Amazon affiliate. And on top of that, what we are also doing is, if you go to the tasteofindia.com, you will find there are pages that are dedicated to reviews that we write about specific products, and those products are Amazon products that we are promoting. Each of those posts, if I get about, let me say, about 1,000 to 1,500 page views in a day, people who are going there, the click-through rate, even in a very poor situation, even if it is at about 8 to 10%, that's a good number of people clicking on that link, going to the Amazon website. Now, one thing that you might want to note here is that if they click on that link, which, for example, is a whole wheat atta, that link, they go to Amazon, but they're not buying whole wheat atta. Instead, they are buying something else. I get credited for that sale as well. So it isn't just that one product that I'm promoting, which is going to pay me, but anything that they buy, once they click through from that link, is a sale that is being generated from my link, and I get paid for it. So to your question, is there nuances to it? To starting off with affiliate marketing, the basic simple step is that you have content, you have valuable content, and in between those content, you are providing contextual links to products that you want to promote as an affiliate. That is all that is there to affiliate marketing. The second aspect to that is generating traffic. Now, that is where the larger effort is. You need to generate traffic to those posts or those blogs in order to generate those commissions. So to your questions, starting off is simple, but to build that, to generate that traffic, like in podcasting, the amount of effort that we put in to promote our shows, it is pretty much the same there as well. You need to put in a lot of effort to promote, to build that audience, and only then that the returns come in.
The difficult part is the content and then making sure that the audience comes in. Now, after the audience has come in, is it as simple as just going to like the Amazon.com or and their affiliate page and just signing up? Or are there any other gotchas where they'll say that if you don't make a sale in 3 months, we'll delist your account and stuff like that? What are some of the things people should be aware of when they're signing up for this?
There isn't anything like that. Once you join an affiliate program, like for example, I am an affiliate marketer. I join their affiliate program, the Amazon Associates program. They wouldn't delist me even if I don't make a single sale for the next 1 year. It's entirely my choice when I want to promote it, when I want to drive traffic, when I want to make money. Because making money is what my objective is, to make money out of those links. So why wouldn't I want to promote it? But Amazon doesn't have to do anything with it. They'll just say, okay, if you don't want to do it, it's fine. But they will keep that account active. There is nothing like that. And that's not just with Amazon. With any affiliate program, they don't delist you, and there are a couple of exclusions to it. I'll come to that. But otherwise, in 95% of the affiliate programs, there isn't any conditions that you need to make money. But if you're consistently putting in that effort, you will generate a sale. Now, when it comes to Amazon, this might be a little technical for people, but then when it comes to Amazon, the only thing is that Amazon provides an API access, which basically helps you to automatically pull in the products on their website, on the Amazon website, and showcase that on your blog or your website. So if you don't generate a sale for an X amount of period, I think it's about 90 days or something, then that API access is something that you won't get. But you can still promote Amazon products. The only thing is that you need to manually copy that link and use that in your post. So that's with Amazon. But there are a couple of affiliate networks. Like, for example, there is a network called commissionjunction.com, which we've been using for quite some time. Their website is cj.com. Now, on cj.com, if you don't generate a sale for like 120 days, then your account becomes a dormant account. You need to once again go and reactivate it. And only then you will be able to promote the products. So there are very few networks, I wouldn't even say 5% of the overall networks, but very few networks who actually put that condition in there. But otherwise, 95, 98% of the networks, there isn't any such condition. You can join them, promote products as per your convenience, and that's it.
The reason I was asking was because I was dabbling with affiliate marketing myself, and I was trying to get some sales for Amazon products. And Amazon, after a couple of months, sent me a notice saying that we're delisting your affiliate account because you've not made a sale or anything like that. So I guess the rules are updated, I guess. This was two, three years back.
Right. So that isn't there because I've been using Amazon for quite some time now. It isn't there. But then the API access, they'll revoke. They'll revoke the API access. You won't get that. But your account won't be delisted. You can still promote the products.
At the end of the day, this comes back to what is the audience for whom you're creating content. Subsequently, what are the kind of products that your audience will be interested to buy?
Correct. So it has to be contextual, because otherwise you might just be pushing some products that are absolutely irrelevant to your audience. And you can absolutely do that. But then the point there is that conversions might not be what you are expecting. So it might just not work. So what is advisable is to push contextual products which are relevant to your audience.
Absolutely. And in order to find and push the contextual products, one needs to make sure that the show or the content that is being created has a very niche audience, like the way you were talking earlier, right? About, you know, creating websites for niche audiences, because what it is that those specific people are coming for. And especially in the context of content creators, it comes down to the premise. So what's the premise of your show, your podcast, your video, whatever it is, so that the relative products that link to your premise can be showcased, identified, and then the affiliate links for the same can be showed.
That's right. All kind of content, because what I feel is that there isn't any content which might not have a product associated with it. I'll give you an example. There are books on Amazon that I usually promote. If I read a book, I go ahead and promote that on my blog, on my social media, on my emails. I've put an influencer page together on Amazon where I have listed all of the books that I like, I recommend. Now, these links are something that I keep sharing with the website visitors, with the audience, through my emails. Now, these books also generate income for me, because that, again, there is a percentage that I learn when people click on those links and buy those books. So there, as in the number of products that are available that you can promote to your audience, and I don't think there is any niche that doesn't have any product or service associated with it. It is about you going into that depth and understanding what is it that you might want to promote to your audience. But you will definitely find something that you can promote.
Apart from Amazon, what are the other companies, or how do they approach a particular organization asking them about their affiliate program? Is it typically available on their website? Do you need to go through customer care? How does that typically work?
It's usually available on their website. So for example, if there is a product that you like, now in my case, let me take the example of the podcasting university. Now that's typically targeting people who are interested in podcasts. Now there could be podcast courses that are available. Now, there could be microphones that are available, pop filters. There could be the boom arm that is available. So now, if it is not Amazon, if it's a different product, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, 90% of these products will have, in their footer, they'll have a link to the affiliate program. They will have an affiliate program. Now, assuming that there isn't an affiliate program, a simple thing that you can do is pick that product, go to Google, enter that product's name, and add affiliate program next to it, and do a quick search. You will find if there is an affiliate program for that product, you'll be able to find that on Google. Now, that is a second way of doing it. A third way is to join some of these networks. Now, like the one that I said, cj.com is basically an affiliate network that has a ton of affiliate products, starting from everything, insurance, car insurance, home loans, personal loans, and typically as in any kind of finance products, services, they have a ton of different products. You can pick what is it that you want to promote. You can reach out to them. There is an approval mechanism where there is a short intro that you need to provide them as to how is it that you're planning to promote their product and all of those things. And if they find that it is something that they feel is right, they'll go and approve you and you can promote those products. Now, CJ.com has an approval format. There are some other products, some other networks which do not have any approval system. So all that you need to do is just go and apply for the affiliate program. They'll approve you and then you can promote it. So you'll be able to find affiliate programs for most of these products or services, because today, like what I said, affiliate marketing is the easiest advertising system that is available to any product or service creator. I'm a huge fan of Pat Flynn. Now, if you go to his website, he's put together a lot of those courses, and all of those courses have affiliate programs. You can join those affiliate programs and promote. So you will find an affiliate program. If for some reason a product or a service doesn't have an affiliate program, there is a similar service or product that might be available that has an affiliate program, which you can always promote.
You spoke about Pat Flynn, right? And how his courses have the affiliate program links and etc. Now, if I'm a content creator based out of India, does it make sense for me to reach out to affiliate programs that are based outside of India as well? Are they open to making payments for like cross-border individuals? Or does it make more sense to restrict myself to organizations within India or the country that I am resident in, so that I'm able to minimize any of these logistical or foreign exchange related matters?
I wouldn't recommend that, Naga, because the sole reason why we are into this digital world is so that we can cross boundaries, reach audience that is beyond the boundary of the region or area that we are located in. And if you're trying to limit yourself within that boundary, then the entire concept of this digital marketing fails. I wouldn't advise that. And I'll take my own example. There are a lot of products and services that I consume. And most of those products and services are all from creators that are based outside of India. It's not based within India. So from within India, as an Indian, if I am consuming those products and services, I don't see why I wouldn't be able to find a market for those products and services within India if I'm promoting that as an affiliate program. There is no logistical roadblocks there, because it's all about getting approved for that affiliate program, getting your links, promoting it contextually on your blog or your website. So from your audience's perspective, all that they are doing is clicking on that link. They are taken to that product page. They go through that sales page, see if that product is something that they might want to invest in or they might want to buy. They click buy now, go ahead, buy it. If they buy it, you earn a commission. If they don't, that's it. So there is nothing in terms of a logistical roadblock. And I wouldn't advise that you should limit yourselves to within India until and unless you are so focused into a niche that or a product or service that you think only Indians might be using and nobody outside might be using. So I don't personally recommend doing that. The wider it is, the better it'll be for you from a overall monetization perspective.
And you don't see a challenge with receiving like foreign exchange and stuff like that, especially in countries like India?
This is a question that I was asked. There was a mentorship that I was doing for a couple of these folks on affiliate marketing. And there was this question that they asked saying that, what if they don't pay me? All of these systems that have been put in place, for example, if it is Amazon, when I'm talking about Amazon, it is Amazon India, because Amazon India, Amazon US, United States will have two different kind of customer base, because US wouldn't ship to India. So when you're promoting Amazon India products, it is for the Indian audience. That's something that I just wanted to kind of clarify. Most of these affiliate programs, there is a robust system that is put in there where the creator or the product manufacturer or the person who's put together that service cannot kind of refuse to pay you, because that sale that they generate, when that sale is generated, there is an X percentage, which is basically the affiliate commission. That X percentage is kind of retained by the network and then they pay it over to you. So it's just that there might be conditions. For example, some affiliate networks would say that until and unless you've reached $100, they wouldn't pay you. There are some networks that would say, okay, the payment will happen once in 30 days. But those are all terms that are just common with most affiliate networks. So from a payment not happening, it's all a robust system that is there in place. Just that you shouldn't fall for something that is an obvious scam or a product that doesn't have credibility. That's the only thing that you need to avoid. But otherwise, there is no such issues.
That's good to know. The point on the credibility also is a really good one, because it also reflects adversely on our audience and the content that we make. If we are recommending products that are inferior quality, or just because someone is giving us a higher affiliate commission, you don't want to lose that trust or goodwill that the audience is placing in you when they're consuming content or even when they're purchasing stuff off of our affiliate links.
On that piece, something that I do right now, as in there is a lot that has changed in my overall business methodology. So something that I do right now is that if there is a product that I promote, I ensure that I'm trying it out or I'm using it. So if you go to Amazon, most of the products that you will find there is something that I have in some way been related to. Now, there could be some products, like, for example, if it's a large appliance, let me say maybe I'm recommending a refrigerator, or I'm recommending maybe a microwave oven to my audience, then in that case, I would obviously recommend the oven that I am using. I would put forward all of those advantages and disadvantages of that oven. At the same time, I would recommend some of those competitor ovens as well, which I would have researched before I went ahead and made that purchase. So I wouldn't just go and recommend something that I have absolutely no clue about, because that is where your entire credibility can take a hit. So anything, as in, like what I said, the books that I recommend is something that I have read. If I haven't read it, I wouldn't recommend it. The products that I'm recommending, for example, on the tasteofindia.com, there is a page where we've put together how to start a food blog and make money with it. Now, that page has some of these products, all of which is something that we've used. So we will recommend products and services that we try out. We are at a better position to pitch that product to my audience. And it also ensures that the credibility is maintained.
That's a good point in terms of all of the products that you had researched but didn't really end up buying. That's a good way of expanding the reach to products that you have not tried but have come close to trying. So, Dilip, as we reach the end of the episode, bottom line it for me.
We connected through podcast. So something that I find today, and this is because on the podcasting university, I spend a lot of time researching on the podcasting industry, what is happening. Something that I really found is that there is a lot that we are leaving on the table in terms of monetization. While we are talking about monetization a lot on podcasting, the point is that today we are, as in, very narrowly focused, looking at only a couple of avenues of monetizing the shows. There are other forms, other ways in which you might be able to earn money, monetize your shows. The only thing is that you need to see how is it that you want to go about doing it. And one big problem that I've seen is that most of these podcasts, as in good podcasts, they don't have a real estate, meaning a website on the internet. I have been a firm believer that you need to have a website on the internet to which you will have to drive your audience, build your audience, and see, listeners will come and they'll go. But how is it that you're going to retain your listeners? You will only be able to retain your listeners if you drive them to some concrete space on the internet and connect with them, continue to connect with them. In my case, I'm extremely focused on email marketing. So I'm building my list and I keep sending people an email with the latest episode that we release. And that gets me the initial kick in terms of the listens for the first 2-3 days. So how is it that we are retaining those listeners, engaging with them? These are some things that are being overlooked in the podcasting space in our market today, is something that I feel. And I think that there is a lot of opportunity in terms of using podcasts to drive traffic to your blog and then maybe using affiliate marketing as a monetization method, which is something that I think people can explore.
Absolutely. And what about the non-podcast creators who are looking to evaluate affiliate marketing?
Affiliate marketing, and in more so in the current situation after COVID, there are a lot of people who lost their jobs. But what I feel is that affiliate marketing is something that is worth exploring, as anybody who can put in some effort into building that business. Affiliate marketing can be a full-time business for you. And I'll take this from Pat Flynn's website. His website is Smart Passive Income. And if you see, he talks about passive income. And he's somebody who's promoted affiliate marketing so much that if you just go to your website, you'll be able to find that his core income source, primary income source, was affiliate marketing. It's something that anybody who's looking at an alternate method of earning, of income, can use. There needs to be some effort. You will have to put in some effort. You will have to be consistent. You will have to, just like in pretty much every other content marketing field, you will have to put in some effort, drive the traffic, wait for that exponential growth to happen, for people to start clicking on your links, buying products, for your affiliate commissions to come in. It is not going to happen overnight, but that's extremely good avenue that I think people should explore. It's a very good alternate source of income if you are somebody who doesn't want to only stick to maybe doing a job or maybe running a brick and mortar business.
That's phenomenal insights. I'll also make sure that I include your contact information in the show notes so that people who are looking to reach you can drop you an email, send you a tweet, and they can reach you for more details. Thank you for taking the time to be on the Passion People podcast. This has been great. In a world which is filled with a lot of content, one of the nice ways to differentiate yourselves is to be authentic and build a connection with your audience. As a creator, if you're going to recommend something, take a page out of Dilip's book and ensure that you've either used the product or have at least researched it before you suggest it to somebody else. There's a large value to be attributed to the trust that our audience places in us, and we should not take it lightly. If there is one thing that you're going to take away from this episode, let it be this. Thanks for tuning in. In case you have not already subscribed to the show, do subscribe on the Epilogue website or your favorite podcast streaming platform.